Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Professor Anthony Turton, a very good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you and the listeners. How can I help you this afternoon?
Well, a comment that you gave this morning, a really interesting comment that you say the government's to blame for the country's water crisis.
Oh, absolutely, without any question of doubt. There's no grey area in that question.
Okay, so explain to us your rationale behind that.
Well, very simply put, the first law that was brought into a recognition in the democratic era was the National Water Act, promulgated in 1998. It was a very, very revolutionary, very radical law in a way, because it took away all rights to water, and it mandated a thing called the National Water Resource Strategy, which was first published in 2002. That was probably the pinnacle of all scientific and technical achievements, because we still had a very robust scientific capability at that point in time. And we worked on the technical numbers needed to balance out the demand versus supply under the new act. And shock and horror, we found that we'd allocated 98% of all the water that we had in the country available at a high assurance of supply. And what's significant about the National Water Resource Strategy number one was that it was so revolutionary and new that that every single stakeholder involved in the entire water sector value chain was directly involved. And of course, that includes government. So government knew all along exactly what the story was. And guess what? They didn't do anything about it. So I would say that government is the source of the problem.
Definitely, without any doubt. Does each municipality manage their own water policies, or how does it work?
Well, the National Water Act, I've mentioned, was a revolutionary act. And part of it was it completely restructured water. And so part of the desire was to democratize the management of water, which sounds seductively beautiful. You know, let's bring democracy into the management of water. However, water is quite a boring technical subject. And the country was divided into 19 water management areas, each of which was going to be managed by this new democratic institution known as a Catchment Management Agency, a CMA. Well, in 22 decades, we've now got two catchment management agencies of the 19 that have actually come into existence, and none of them have actually succeeded in managing the deficit between demand and supply. So it has been a total 100% abysmal failure.
When you look at those stats, and you talk of recycling water.
Sorry, I lost you there.
You mentioned, you also spoke about recycling water, being able to reuse water.
Yes, okay. So you know, is the water story a crash and burn, really, let's slash our wrist kind of doom and gloom scenario? Or is it, in fact, a highly optimistic, really, let's get excited kind of scenario? And I would say it's the latter, because it's only a crash and burn scenario if we continue to consider water as a single-use commodity that we take, we make something of value from it, and we then discard it as waste. In reality, water is an infinitely renewable resource. And all we need to do is recycle, recover, and reuse our national water resource nothing more than 1.6 times by 2030, and then we can potentially create full employment in the economy. And we're actually not going to run out of water, because it is, in fact, an infinitely renewable resource. So the good news story is water is infinitely renewable. The bad news story is that the political leadership, for some reason, has not cottoned onto this, and they still keep on banging the same old drum about, let's just build another dam, let's just put a few more JoJo tanks in your backyard. And water is actually not a crisis. It is, in fact, a challenge.
And In your view, the way we're going currently with water, do you think that we're going to run out? There's a chance that we could have a day zero?
The simple reality is that South Africa ran out of water in 2002 when the National Water Resource Strategy published the fact that of all the water available in the country, at the highest level of technical certainty, we had allocated 98% of all the water we had then. So 98 is as close to 100% as we could get, you know, at that level of aggregation. So if you want to really argue the point, I would say that we ran out of water in 2002, and we ran out of capital in 2013 when after Marikana, when there was a net outflow of foreign direct investment from the country. So we are now a water and capital constrained economy. On the water side, we've been constrained for at least two decades, and only now is the day zero reality coming home to every single consumer in South Africa. But the technical community in the water sector have known about this for at least two decades.
And lastly, I suppose the impact of load shedding is dire.
Yes, I think, I'm a systems thinker, so we think of South Africa as a system. Then that system is made up of subsystems, and the energy system would be one of those subsystems. The water system would be another subsystem. Home affairs would be another system. The licensing department would be another system. The general post office would be another system. All of those are failing in some way or other, and it's the collective failure of each of those that ultimately results in state failure. So I would argue that we are on our way to state failure, to full-blown state failure, because we only regard each of these little subsystems as a thing in their own right. In reality, the point that I'm trying to make is that the government as we currently know it consists of the African National Congress in power, but not in control. There's a difference between being in power and being in control. And I would say right now that they are no longer in control.
And possibly heading for state failure. Professor Anthony Turton, professor at the Center for Environmental Management at the University of the Free State. Thank you so much, Professor, for just giving us a bit more insight into the water problems.